Good morning and welcome to Valley Brook. We want to give a very special welcome to all our first-time visitors. We are so happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab or also on the streaming tab on our website, and we will ensure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and access code are located on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our Giving tab or via email to our office address, as listed in the back of the bulletin. Just a note of clarification. We are not meeting to get together as a church family here at the church in Columbia. Those who are teaching during the month of August and those who are a part of the production team are the voices you hear in the background during the sermon. The way you are watching now via our website streaming is the way we will continue to meet until further notice. The drive bye-bye for the Abercrombies. Reminder, the drive bye-bye to show Elder Bobby and his lovely wife, Sister Dina, how much we love them, appreciate them, and will miss them is today. Bring your cards, notes, written letters, gifts, and masks, and join the caravan. When? Today. Where? The Valley Brook Community Church. What time? 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Cars will line up at 4:15 p.m. in the bowling alley parking lot. Masks must be worn at all times. Access to our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 14. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And now we will pray. praise you, Lord, and thank you for your faithfulness. For your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, your love, your peace, your joy. Thank you for your comfort. Praise you, Lord, that you are the way maker, that you are the miracle worker, that you are the promise keeper, that you are the light, and no matter what darkness we may find ourselves in, we thank you for this day. We thank you for keeping us through all this pandemic, through all the unrest and the turmoil and the trauma in the world. We thank you for sheltering. We thank you that we are covered with your blood. We thank you that we can hide under the shadow of your wings. I just thank you today. I'm so grateful for all that you have, that you continue to do. I thank you that you are a trustworthy God. We don't have to worry that what you say you're not going to do, that you won't be able to perform it because it's beyond you. I thank you that there's nothing, nothing impossible for you. Lord, bless everyone here, everyone listening, everyone streaming. Lord, let them hear something through Elder Michael's message that they will leave different than when they came on. Lord, every need, every burden, they all are in your capability of answering. Every disease you can heal, every sin you can save. Thank you, Lord. We ask all those who are giving offering today, Lord, to just know that they are just a part of your work and what you want to do through this church. If those who cannot give, Lord, don't let them feel guilty. Let them just know that you love them. Your love is unconditional. It's not conditional on what we do. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. I just thank you for who you are. I ask you to bless Elder Michael today. And Lord, just we know you're going to speak through him because you're in him and you're around him. You're going to just give him something to give to us, Lord, to bless us and to make us just more aware of your presence. Just with us every minute, every hour, every day, every week. Every month, just eternally. Thank you, Lord. I can't say thank you enough.
Thank you.
We love you. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify you. We bless your name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Well, good morning for those of you that I can't see, and good morning for those that I can. I'm Elder Michael Yakey, and I'll be delivering the message this morning. What a privilege to be with you all. Much thought and prayer has gone into this message, and much me thinking about how to say what I need to say. Let me quit fumbling through these papers and get to it. Before I start, though, what I want to do is to try to read a small note of thanks that was sent to me by Gene Perrin and Dave about our outreach efforts. So I want to read that. It was really good feeling to see Ray and Kimberly drive off with their SUV filled with boxes holding 100 stuffed blessing bags, face masks, and 80 bottles of water. Each blessing bag contained 22 items, the usual toiletries, soap, washcloths, toothpaste, etc., sunglasses and hand sanitizer, socks, and sunscreen and face masks, and an encouraging note hand written by a church member. Altogether, 11 individuals wrote a total of 170 notes. Mayor Hillary, Alicia Weatherford, Kerry, and Tina Bennett, to Keisha and Tanika, and Marty Claxton, Robin Weary, Kimberly McCoy, Alberta Hall, Laverne Beatty. In addition, Nina St. Hilary made 157 masks, enough so that each person who received a bag found a beautiful face mask inside. The Keisha also donated 40 KN95 masks for staff, and Jean Parent made 45 additional masks with pocket and filter for staff and our residents at Our Daily Bread. All in all, an extraordinary effort on the part of many dedicated individuals. And in addition to that, I thank you all that provided financial support for this project as well. So thank you all. What a group. This morning, I want to talk about, my theme is Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Building a Life Bridge to God. I want to say hello to my wife, who's out there, who wanted to be here this morning, who tried to be here this morning, but coming down with a cold, so couldn't be here this morning, okay? So, babe, I see you at home, and I'm going to talk to you as soon as I can. In 1969, Paul Simon wrote the words to Bridge Over Troubled Waters and performed it with his partner, Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel were what they were known as. And the words say, when you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side when times get tough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When you're down and out, and when you're on the street, and when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I will take your part when darkness comes and pain is all around. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Amen. Lord, thank you this morning that you're our life bridge over troubled water. I just want to say that again. You're a life bridge. There's all kinds of bridges, suspension bridges, draw bridges, lift bridges. Lord, but you are our life bridge over these troubled waters that we find ourselves in today. So we want to give thanks to you this morning. We want to give praise to you this morning. We want to lift your name up this morning, that the turbulent times and waters that are beneath us, you have built a life bridge above it all for us. Help me speak with truth, sincerity, not to say more than I need or less than I need to say, or help me to say it in a way that communicates clearly what you've given me to say this morning. Thank you for giving it to me. Thank you. I can say that it was you who gave it. I didn't make it up. I listened to you as best I could, Lord. I prayed through it as best I could. Be with me as I deliver your word this morning. And thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those that are listening at home. Love you all so much. Miss you all so much. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Building a Life Bridge to God is the name of this for those of you that need a title. Key texts are from Romans 1:18-32. We got stuff coming out of Psalms 36 and 37, Psalms 31, 5 through 18, and I'll repeat that once we get there. But since March of this year, 178,000 people have died in the United States from coronavirus. More than 5.5 million people have been affected in the U.S. The current unemployment rate is hovering around 10%, the highest since the Great Depression. It was at 3.7% back in March, to show you the difference of where we are now. Our secondary and post-secondary education system is playing Russian roulette with our children's educational future and safety, with no coherent national strategy to get our kids and teachers back into the classroom safely. Post-protest and civil unrest sparked by the murder in public view of George Floyd back in May and Breonna Taylor, back in March, erupted all over the country and continues to this very moment. Our government is deliberately removing mailboxes, shutting down polling places, and slowing down mail processing by eliminating high-speed mail processing equipment in a blatant and obvious attempt to suppress the vote in November. Adding insult to injury, tornadoes, hurricanes, and forest fires in California are spreading devastation in many parts of our country. Also, the U.S. Congress and Senate have failed to reach a compromise on extending unemployment benefits and providing additional stimulus checks. There are 73 days we have to the presidential election. Wow. I know you're thinking at home, wow, that's a lot. Navigating treacherous waters like these can feel overwhelming. And I know many of you can say, man, it's just overwhelming. We're avoiding looking at the news. We're avoiding talking. We don't even want to talk about it. It's overwhelming. What is a believer to do in these times? How do we build a life bridge over these troubled waters to safety that can only be found in God? Now, there are three principles of life bridge construction that I want to review with you this morning. A life bridge is simply, a bridge is just simply something you go over, generally suspended over water, that's one type of bridge, to get to the other side. It prevents us from trying to be drowned in the water or go over the water by a boat, but get to the other side to safety. So a life bridge, what I mean is that Christ is our life bridge. There was sin, there's salvation, and Christ is the bridge that got us to the salvation part. Okay, so when I say life bridge, I mean he is the bridge. He is the one that provided reconciliation for us to get to himself. I'll talk more about that later. So, a couple of things I think that living in these times. Now, like I said, I was in, I've been reading The Castle, the book by Isabel Wilkerson. And boy, it has so much information in it. And I was, oh God, what am I gonna say? And what am I gonna relate to people? And my wife said, well, you know, just tell the truth. She said, don't be long, but just tell the truth. Oh, you all laughing. She said, yeah, elderly, yeah, you can go long now. But the Apostle Paul went long. He preached so long one time, people fell out of the window. So I feel like I'm in good company, but I'm not going to keep you more than 40 minutes, I promise. All right. Three principles of building a life bridge to God. Here's the first. Stop projecting calamity and mayhem in your future. I'll say that again. Stop projecting calamity and mayhem into your future. Are you willing to accept the architectural drawing for your life bridge that God has drafted for your life? Are you willing to accept it? God has a plan for your life, filled with a future and a hope, not with calamity and despair. Jeremiah 29:11, you're familiar with. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. My favorite is Psalms 91. This is one of my life verses. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You are only to observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, amen, can we say that?
Amen.
The Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. And then in Jeremiah 32, 38 through 40, it says, they will be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them singleness of heart and action, so they will always fear me, and that all with them go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. So, thing one, stop projecting calamity and mayhem into your future. Second point, stop seeing yourself through the world's lens. To build a life bridge to a closer relationship to God, we must stop viewing our reality based on the world's view of what brings life. I'll say that again. You got to get this. This is important. To build a life bridge to a closer relationship to God, we must stop viewing our reality. That's what we can see or taste or touch with our five senses, okay? Based on the world's view of what brings life. Christ brings life. Not a political party. Not a platform. Not an ideology. Not who's in the White House, not who's marching up and down the streets in Wisconsin or Oregon. It is Christ that brings life. You are not a color, a class, a caste, a color, a culture, or a zip code. You are a new creature in Christ, free from the shackles of this world, born again into the family of God.
Amen.
I say again, you're not a color, a class, a caste, a culture, or zip code. You are a new creature in Christ, for those of you who accepted Christ out there, free from the shackles of this world, born again into the family of God. Now, you have been reconciled. Those of you that accepted Christ into your life and become, you have been reconciled. The meaning common to this word group is change or exchange. Reconciliation involves a change in the relationship between God and man or man and man. It assumes that there has been a breakdown in the relationship, but now there has been a change from a state of enmity or hatred, is another word, and fragmentation to one of harmony and fellowship. In Romans 5, 6 through 11, Paul says that before reconciliation, we were powerless. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Ungodly, sinners, and enemies. We were under God's wrath. Because of change or reconciliation, we have become new creatures. The Bible says, therefore, you know the verse, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Now, it's hard to accept this, that we're not a color. God don't see black when he's in heaven. What a ridiculous thought. He don't see white people. He don't see nobody but his people that he died for.
Amen.
Black people ain't gonna be lined up on this side, white people on this side when we get to heaven.
Amen.
Jews somewhere in the middle that converted. The world wants us to think that God thinks in color or class. He loves rich people more than he loves black people or poor people. He loves Republicans more than he loves Democrats. He loves people that are going to stand up and take the castle, take over the country, more than people who are praying for this country. That view is not accurate. Now, I want to just put it out there. You can write me all the cards and letters you want. That's an inaccurate view of who believers are. Oh, I know some of y'all ready to cut the TV off now. I know that. But it's true. Okay? We are the redeemed. We don't have to live in a shadow of a history that enslaved us. Or laws and institutions that prevent a certain group of people for voting. Or history that lynched us, castrated us, prevented women from voting, decided that black people and white people couldn't marry. We're not there. We're not part of that system, world system and order. We are believers. We have rights, privileges, obligations as citizens of heaven. We are part of the holy priesthood, citizens of heaven. We are God's beloved. We possess a new nature and destination. We are heaven bound, aliens in a strange land. Now, when I wake up every morning, I see this, and I hear the news, and I talk to people, and I read books, and all of it points me to a negative view of who I really am, or tries to conform me to the view. The word says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, we're new creature. Romans 12:1, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, the good, pleasing, and perfect will. In John 1:13, it says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband, but born of God. I'm hoping you're with me so far. Amen. You didn't cut the TV off yet. It goes on to Romans 6 to say, I'm going to read this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very few, very rarely, will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you.
So since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, Christ, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now, save can mean a lot of things. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm born again. He can save us from this stuff. Pastor gave a message a couple of weeks ago about how to navigate under the water. I'm talking this morning about going over the bridge. I hope some of this is penetrating somewhere of how to cope with all of this. Okay? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, who we have now been reconciled. That's Romans 5, 6 through 11. So, with me?
Yeah.
All right, don't leave me now. Point 3. Stop believing that what you see is all there is or can imagine. That's limited vision. 1 Corinthians says that we see dimly in a mirror. Because you can't imagine, it says the mind of man plans his way, but God directs his steps. You can plan anything. But your imagination is like a dust, a particle of dust or a grain of sand compared to God's imagination. What we see is not all there is. God can produce results or make a change in your current state of affairs far beyond what we can imagine. I know some of you are master planners and you took courses in college in organizational behavior, and you're psychologists and doctors of this and doctors of that. We all got all kind of people in our audience this morning. But God can do so much more if we put our faith and trust in him. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do it immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, this is at work within us. Now this next point is important. His love is unfailing. That means it is without error or fault. I'm going to say it again.
Hallelujah.
Y'all, those of you who are writing this down need to write this down. God's love is unfailing. It is without error or fault. Cannot be changed. It cannot, I'm going to say this, it cannot be changed or altered by the trade winds of our times or the evil intent of man. Now, God's unfailing love, that phrase there is mentioned 41 times in the Psalms, and it's almost exclusively found in the Psalms. It's found other ways in the Bible, but primarily the phrase unfailing love concentrate in the Psalms. Okay? In your Psalm, Exodus, I know Dan knows this, Exodus 15:13 says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. That's Exodus 15:13. Now, we must depend on God's mercy and grace for this, not our own power and strength. We want to take it over. Because we think we know best. Amen? We think we know better than God. God, if you were really God, why are you letting all this mess go on? How could you let 178,000 people die? Over 37% of them are people of color and old people. What kind of God are you? What kind of merciful God are you? Let that happen. And those are all good questions. And if and when you get to heaven, I'm sure God will dialogue with you about that. You'll say, well, okay. In Romans 9:16, it does not say, it says, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. The fact that 100 million people haven't died yet is because of God's mercy. The fact that the unemployment rate in this country hasn't went to 50% instead of 10.2% is because of God's mercy. The fact that most of you listen to a sound of my voice got a stimulus check. Received unemployment, still got food on your table, gas in your car. Your kids didn't die from this virus. You still got a job. It's because of God's mercy. Not because you were smart. Well, because those that lead us are smart, because they made a disaster of this mess. Dumber than a dumb rock. Okay. Chris's daughter, Leah, could have done a better job of designing this. I know her. She's smart. We should have just sat down with Malia and said, hey, what should you do, Malia? Malia would have pointed me to the website. She would have said, well, CDC says this, and this is what you need to do. You know that's true. I am not saying call wrong right. Hear me good, y'all. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to recognize that things could be so much worse. And maybe before this is over with. But it's God's mercy and grace that's holding back a total collapse of the American political system, a system of democracy in this country. Not a movement. Not an organizing campaign. Not people who've decided that we need to do something. Now, I'll just say this, because I need to stay on track and I'm doing okay. I've been through 5 iterations of this particular scenario that we see today. I lived through Dwight D. Eisenhower. I lived through LBJ. I lived through Ronald Reagan. I lived through Kennedy. I lived through both Bushes. I lived through Barack Obama, and now I'm living through Donald Trump. So for those of you to think that this is the worst the country has ever been in, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. They've been shooting black and brown people ever since I can remember. They've been withholding the rights from people to own home ownership. They've been trying to prevent a certain group of people from voting. They beat up and bombed churches and killed black children. I've seen whites and Jews and black people march for the right and were beaten and dog sicked on them and fire hosed. I've seen all of that. Some of you young people haven't seen any of it. I was in Watts, California, when they burned it to the ground. I was in Detroit, Michigan, during the riots. I was involved in one race riot at Fair State University, where a group of angry whites tried to come into a mostly black dormitory and assault us. They burned about 10 cars, turned them over, and burnt them. Molotov cocktails. I've been arrested for just exercising my right in a university dorm to pick up a pizza. And somebody told me to go back upstairs and put my house shoes on. And I said, I pay your salary. He said, well, you being obstinate and disobedient, so we'll call the police. Police came and they took me into jail. I was in my pajamas. It was snowing outside. Locked me up for 24 hours, didn't charge me. My wife tells a story about how when they used to visit their Aunt Betty down in Memphis, how she can remember diving on the floor when the Ku Klux Klan was coming by. Shoot. We've all got these stories. The immigrant coming in Ellis Island has a story of being mistreated and abused. There's a story in every culture. But remember, it's God's mercy and grace that has brought us to where we are. There was a time when we couldn't read the Bible. There was a time when my ancestors were shackled and chained. Oh, 1619 to 1854, 55, one of them. And so, I'm just saying to you that mercy is a good thing. You can look at all that, excuse me, and be bitter. And trust me, folks, I got a lot to be mad about. If I just want to be mad, I can be mad. I can be mad, but I'm not that guy anymore. Those of you that are reconciled, you're not that woman anymore. You can forgive. Now, let me say this. I'm going to get to my last point. We're going to get out of here so I stay on time. It's amazing when you look at Christ. He don't mention race. You look at the New Testament, Christ, people did unspeakable things to him and the Apostle Paul. They followed him around causing trouble, causing riots, falsely accused him, beat him. Paul had to escape from a couple of cities because people were trying, had made a plot to do this brother in. Okay? So, but Jesus was just so revolutionary. When you look at him, he surrounded himself by people who you would have thought there's no way he's going to hang out with these people. A prostitute? I had my wife laughing the other day when Mary did his hair, did her hair and alabaster box and all that, put the perfume on his feet. And he said, well, none of y'all offered me any comfort as I came into your house. Don't be preventing this sister from doing this for me. You know, he went to a tax collector's house and stayed there. He met a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. He forgave an adulteress in plain view of everybody. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. Regardless of their station in life, rich, poor, it didn't matter. It was inconsequential to him. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He never raised a hand against anyone. In fact, in the garden, when they took him and one of his people there tried to sword and actually cut somebody's ear off, he said, put away your sword. He said, that ain't this kind of party.
That's right.
I ain't having that. I could call the angels and get rid of all of this. Don't get it twisted, folks. I don't need your help, is what Christ said. He said, I got this. What must happen, must happen. Last point, and then I'll close this up. To build a, construct a good bridge to Christ, we need to stop entrusting or giving away your life, yourself, to people, plans and institutions that are not driven by Christ-centered principles. I'm going to say that again. Write it down. We need to stop entrusting or giving your life force or your life energy to people, plans, and institutions that are not driven by Christ-centered principles. Man will let, if any honest reading of history, I don't care who you are, honest reading of history, man will legislate perversion and codify it into law. And there's more examples of that that I got time to stand up to say this morning that was done in the U.S. of A., in Nazi Germany, in India, in the caste system. There's no shortage of evidence that that's true. Now, we may have benefited from the short-term gain, like voters registration acts or equal voting rights, but depending on who was in office, they'll just reverse it. They'll make a new law. They'll pervert what God said is wrong and make a law to make it right. Read, study, understand what's going on here. This is a bigger attempt by Satan himself to try to get us to buy into something that just is not true. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right. Oh, come on, Lord, speak to me now. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We're doing a lot of stuff that seems right, but if it's not centered in the principles of Christ himself, if it's not Christ-centered, it's doomed to fail or to be short-term. It has a short-term life cycle. All right? Psalms 143:8 says, let the morning bring, this is one of my favorite verses, this is a good one, you guys. Psalm 143:8 says, let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. All right, if you were real Christians, you say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so to you I will entrust my life. Not to an organization, NAACP, Urban League, Democratic Committee. I'm not saying don't work on those things. I'm not saying do good in your community. But just don't entrust your life to another man. Because they will fail you. It's just a matter of time. All right. So how do we respond to wickedness? This is my final point. And injustice in these times. I mean, what are we to do? Should we just go on an island? All of us get together and go sit together and wait for Jesus to come back? How do we respond to wickedness and injustice in these times that would prevent us from staying on our life bridge with Christ or jumping off the bridge into the turbulent waters below? Now, write this down. Psalms 36 and 37 are bookend psalms. You need to read them both together. Okay? Psalms 36 and 37. Our faith does not reside in human wisdom, but in God's power, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:5. Now, Psalms 36, and I'm not going to read all of it, contrasts the wickedness of man to God's love and mercy towards his created being. Once again, Psalms 36 contrasts the wickedness of man to God's love and mercy towards his created being. All right, now this is going to be hard for y'all to take what I'm getting ready to say right now. So, okay. Parents, you need to get your children out the room. Go ahead and make them leave out the room right now. But understand that what is unfolding today must be until the Lord's return. There is no silver bullet to slay the evil dragon or magic potion that we can consume that can reverse the evil in the world in which we find ourselves. My advice to you all is save as many as you can. In 2 Timothy 3:1-7, it says, but mark this. All right. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. It says, but mark this. I'm reading from the NIV. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Oh, that's a big one. I'm not. Not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form, here we go, a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded, or men, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Psalms 37, on the other hand, instructs us how we can live among this thing, this world. God doesn't leave us without remedy. Now, I don't know whether you can accept what I'm getting ready to say, but because it's so simple on the face of it. Okay, last point, wrapping it up. It's so simple on the face of it. But in Psalms 37, like I said, I want you all to read both of these together. 36, 37. Okay. Here's what we got to do. Don't fear or worry. I know, that's hard. But in Matthew, it says the same thing. Do not worry. All right? Number two, do good. Don't worry. Do good. I know, y'all don't want to turn the other cheek. You don't want to feed your enemies, give your enemy a scar. Stuff that Jesus said. Because that ain't black enough. How does that get us to Black Lives Matter? If we had been able to do good, there wouldn't have been four policemen standing around for George Floyd to get killed. Somebody would have just said, no. Oh, Jesus, help us. Or Breonna Taylor, somebody would have just said, this is wrong. And whatever political, but we need to do good out of a heart that Christ has given us. Because the good that man will want to do oftentimes is guided by some sinister group somewhere else that you don't even know nothing about. All right? So, number two, do good. Trust in God's unfailing love is number three. Trust in God's unfailing love and sovereignty. Now, I cannot state this enough. We need to don't fear, don't worry, do good, trust in God's unfailing love and sovereignty. Underline this, pursue what is right. Get on your knees and pray about it. Is this right? Could Jesus and me together go to this in this way? Or is there another way that's God-centered? Or even if I do go protest, do I go protest with love in my heart? Trying to share people with people Christ in that protest. To see that it's a heart change that people need. Got about 2 minutes. It's a heart change, not a legislative effort. People's hearts need to be changed. Sinners need to be converted. We need to be reconciled to God. All this other stuff is nonsense. It's necessary nonsense in the world in which we live, but it has no lasting value because God is sovereign. God is in control. God is the creator. And he will bring it to an end. He will control the circumstances of the way that he wants this to end. Above all, so pursue what is right, finishing up. Above all, be diligent in prayer. We need to pray more. Cut off the news. We need to pray more. We need to be diligent in prayer that our neighbors, family members, co-workers, enemies, political figures would find the life bridge in Christ in times like these. Yeah. And I'll close with this verse out of Exodus 15:13. Exodus 15:13. In your unfailing love, oh, thank you, Lord, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for that. Lord, it's hard living in these times. I'll admit that. Day by day, moment by moment, it's hard. But you say in this verse that your love for me is unfailing. You say in this verse that I'm your redeemed. That if I depend on your strength, you will guide me. And so I pray for all that heard this morning. Some of it's hard to accept, I know. I know, it's difficult. And certainly, this isn't the only perspective on this truth. That many scholars have a very, very different opinion than mine. But it's real for me. And for a lot of believers that I know, Lord. And so we want to save as many as we can. And Lord, if there's somebody out there this morning that's seeking you, that's heard what I said and said, well, how can I have this view? How can I be in the family of God? Lord, it's very simple. They need to admit that they're a sinner and can't save themselves through their own efforts, through their own good works, through doing good deeds. They need to believe that you came and died and resurrected, and you came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. They need to confess with their mouths and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And we need to ask you into their lives. Lord, I pray this morning somebody did that. They started the construction to the life bridge to Christ this morning. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for a church that believes in truth. Thank you for my pastor, my friend, who is not afraid to talk about real things. And he's taught me not to be afraid to talk about real things. And so I pray peace over our listeners, over our congregation. And as we get ready for breaking of bread, just give you guys a minute to get maybe some bread and a cup, and Dina and Bobby Abercrombie are going to lead us in a breaking of bread. We need to remember what God has done for us, and we're going to do that now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my life in you. Thank you, Lord. I want to be nowhere else. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your child. We give praise and thanks to you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave thanks and broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Can we bow our heads? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this bread that represents your body. We thank you, Lord, for, as Hebrews says, you were taken outside of the gate and slaughtered. Not for some political accomplishment, not for some crime that you committed, but for to redeem us. That the only way for sin's debt to be paid was for you to die, a perfect lamb. So Lord, thank you for being the perfect lamb, for the breaking of your body for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture also says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We thank the Lord for his blood, for the remission of sins, continues to wash us clean. Lord, we do thank you. For as we remember you today, we remember you to be the bridge to eternity for our souls. And God, as we have this cup today, we ask you to wash us, Lord. Continue to wash our minds. Continue to wash our thoughts, Lord. Lord, Elder Michael encouraged us through the scripture not to worry, not to fret. And God, we thank you that we can remember that through your body and your blood that was shed for us. We give your name praise, for you are our bridge. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to close in prayer. We're going to have a song, I guess, afterwards.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Love you all. I have no ambition of being a TV evangelist, so don't write me notes or letters to encourage me to do that, because that's probably not going to happen.
No.
So God bless you all, and we'll have some worship in just a second.